This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
A good morning on a rainy day in New York. This is 5-on-3, a production of WFUV Sports. I am Dominic Sansone, and I'm joined alongside Sophia Smith and Naomi Rea. So before we get into the show, guys, how are we doing? I know it's not the best weather out in New York State. I'm a New York State resident, as is Sophia. Naomi, how's the weather treating you guys, though?
It's rainy here in D.C., too. Not a great start to the summer break, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm recovering from the Yankees game last night, so I'm good.
Big walk-off win there. We talked about it before the show, so that was really nice to see for New York. And obviously not on our podcast, but the Knicks absolutely blew the game against the Pacers. Really disappointing to see. I was watching that one. And then obviously simultaneously going on, it was Dallas facing off against Edmonton, so we'll start there. What did you guys see in that game against Dallas and Edmonton, a rematch of the 2024 playoff happening again in 2025? Sophia, you got any insight on that?
Well, I was obviously at the Yankees game, so I wasn't watching, but I was keeping up with the score, and the Yankees were playing the Texas Rangers, and the whole time during the game I was like, if the Yankees don't beat the Rangers, I'm gonna get really upset if the Stars win, because like then Dallas will be very happy like all around. And yeah, anyway, as far as like the game goes, I was watching like the whole time. It was 3-1 Oilers in second period, and then third period, obviously it just fell apart for them. They were in Dallas, so it looked awesome, you know, 5 unanswered goals in the third. But I think that the problem here is, well, the first 3 goals were power play goals. The first 3 goals given up were power play goals. So stay out of the box for the Oilers. And then also Stuart Skinner has had, you know, he was played really well that the end of the last series and like absolutely blew it. Only 28 shots against, so you cannot let in those 5 goals in the third period.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Dallas is just doing very well throughout this entire playoff season. I could see them going the distance, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. They got guys. Obviously, Rantanen's one of those guys that kind of jumps off the page. 20 points so far in the playoffs, 9 goals, 11 assists. So he's leading the way for Dallas. He was kind of silent, though, last night. Only 3 shots on goal and 1 assist. The guy who was leading the way was Seguin. He had 5 shots on goal and 2 goals. So as Sophia mentioned, obviously no excuses. I know they had a couple empty netters, but 5 goals is way too many in the third period. Remember, Edmonton was up 3-1 going into the third, and you can't blow leads like that in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely not. And the Oilers have been a team where they are usually the ones making the third period comebacks. Like they've had at least 2 or 3. So to see them, I know that McDavid looked crushed at the end of the game. Like to be on the other side of that, I'm really curious how they're going to go into game 2. And then Heiskanen scored the second goal, which really good to see that. Really good to see him getting back involved. They were playing with 7 defensemen before this game, and then I'm pretty sure they played with 6 last night. So like for him to be fully healthy is like a major game changer. So that's good.
I agree. I think the Oilers are peaking at a really good time right now, especially McDavid. He's doing phenomenally.
So now back to the other side of the bracket. So you got Edmonton and Dallas going at it there. Reminder, Edmonton won that series 4-2 last year, and then ultimately fell to Florida in game 7 of last year's Stanley Cup. But fast forward in this year, Florida back in the same spot they were last year. They rallied against the Bruins early on last year in the playoffs, and now they got a really good team in the Carolina Hurricanes. So you look at this Florida roster, they made tons of moves. They obviously have their core guys, their captain Barkov, but they brought in talent. They brought in Marchand, and they brought in other guys. Now, Carolina, they didn't look very sharp in their first one, kind of got beat up by Florida a little bit, and Florida really beat up Toronto in game 7 as well. So Florida playing some really good hockey at the right time.
I am I'm a major Florida Panthers fan. I love the Rangers, but the Panthers are my second team. This series, I was like so curious. I'm still curious how the whole series is gonna go, but game one, obviously the Panthers won, and that was the 13th. That was the Hurricanes' 13th straight Eastern Conference final loss. Like, they have been swept 3 times and they lost game one. And the last time that they were swept was against the Panthers 2 years ago, and it was like one of the best playoff series I've ever watched. Well, because Matthew Tkachuk had the overtime game winner in like quadruple overtime game one, then overtime win in first overtime game two, and then game three they won, and then game four he like scored with like 4 seconds left to take the lead, and it was just awesome. And like then Rod Brindamore was like, "We didn't get swept," but like, yes, you did. And that's why like I was really curious, because this seemed like a different Carolina team. Like, they just like they I feel like they ran through the Devils, they ran through the Capitals, and they obviously lost. They lost at home, their biggest deficit of the postseason. So I don't know if it was like they had too much rest or like they were not ready for the Panthers. I don't know. Freddie Anderson also wasn't at his best, but the Panthers are just like relentless, especially when they have the lead. So, and they're getting production from everyone in their lineup. Like, the star performers are not even playing at their best. Like, Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov, no one has over 13 points, but there's 8 players with 10 or more. So they're getting production from all over their lineup, and it's showing in their wins.
I agree, honestly. I think the Panthers are really just gritty and composed. And especially when we see like the Leafs versus the Panthers, the Leafs kind of lacked that extra gear and they're still in a regular season team, not a playoff team when you're thinking about going the distance.
Yeah, and they're really good down the stretch in games. Obviously, that game against Toronto that they just eliminated them. You know, I got plenty of Toronto fans. I live up in Rochester, so right across the border, it's Toronto. And we were saying, you know, if they win, maybe we go to a finals game or a conference final, maybe even the cup game. But obviously, Florida took care of that. They're just a team that has so many weapons. And like Sophia mentioned, I mean, their fourth line and third line, when you get production from those guys, it usually translates to wins because obviously you're going to rely on your stars. Like you have to rely on your best guys to get it done. But when it comes down to crunch time and stuff, you need that production from those other lines. Now, as far as Carolina goes, what are they going to have to do to turn the script? I mean, you obviously got some key guys. You got Jarvis, Sebastian Aho, Gostisbehere, who we'll get into in a second. But you have so many guys for this Carolina team. And the goaltending is going to have to be better. We already said it. But what are they going to have to do to try and make this a series against Florida?
They're gonna just have to find a way to shut them down. They have to, and Bobrovsky has also been lights out. So they literally all have to play at their like top of the level, because like I said, I just feel like this is the first like real competitive playoff team that they've faced this playoffs, and they really just have to play like completely lights out. Florida is just such a hard team to beat, and the style of both teams' game is very much like tear down your opponent, like with hitting and just relentless, like be relentless. But Florida does it better. So when you have two teams that play the same style of hockey, and like it's very clear who does it better. I feel like Carolina has a lot of work to do in order to be able to like get past Florida.
I agree. And Florida just thrives in chaos, in my
Yeah.
opinion.
Yeah, they do. And Carolina cruised past Washington. And honestly, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, I knew that Washington was maybe getting a little overhyped. Obviously, you're down there in
Yeah.
DC, so you may have some insight on that, Naomi.
I
But
definitely do.
you think they were overhyped?
No, I think the Caps had an amazing season. Obviously, Alex Ovechkin beat Wayne Gretzky's record. That brought a lot of light and attention to the Caps. Alex Ovechkin even performed phenomenally in the first round of the playoffs. He got about 5 goals, but in the second round, his legs just were not there. His age definitely caught up to him, especially him and John Carlson. I think they also relied a lot on the newcomer Ryan Leonard, and he just did not perform the way that they thought he would. He had 0 goals in the postseason. So I think they leaned too hard on the new guy, and they just were not strong overall. I think they performed well throughout the entire season, but the playoffs just lacked. It was very disappointing to see.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Obviously, you had Ovi getting that huge record, and that was obviously so much, attention being brought to Washington. And I have some people down there, they were like, they're going all the way. They got the team. Obviously, they fell short, and it's disappointing. Now, back to Florida, and Sophia, you touched on this earlier. It was Bobrovsky you mentioned, and I just want to shine some light on how he's done in the playoffs. Obviously, he's been a very good goalie in the regular season, usually throughout the years. I mean, I'm looking at his playoff statistics dating back all the way to 2010 when he just entered the league. If you look at his stats from 2021 on, his save percentage in the playoffs has been over 90% every single season. So that's something that you're obviously going to need down the stretch, and this Florida team could go all the way with that.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's transition now to the other end of things with Florida. Obviously, you got Marchand and Gostisbehere. I don't know if you guys were able to watch a clip maybe on ESPN Sports Center. It was all over the news, but you did see there was a pretty violent hit attempt from Marchand, and then obviously Gostisbehere retaliated, regrouped, got the puck, and then shot it right at him, a wrist shot basically right at him, and Marchand attacked, went up high with his stick. Pretty much a cross check to the head and was ejected. He had a game misconduct and a 4-minute penalty, a double minor. So obviously Marchand out for game two. How does that affect Florida?
I don't know if he's out for game two.
Oh, he's not out for game two?
Don't
I'm
think
pretty sure
so.
he had a misconduct and was
I think
tossed.
that was just for like that game.
Oh, you think it was just that game?
I'm
Interesting.
pretty sure.
So we apologize for that, but Marchand may play tonight. We'll see. Sophia corrected me. I stand corrected. Anyhow,
I'm just making sure that that's true.
regardless on Marchand and Gostisbehere, you guys saw the drama unfold. What did you guys see from that?
I mean, when I watched it, I just thought that Marchand is still trying to be the villain all these years later, but it's just not working anymore. I think he's also getting old, and Gostisbehere just did not back down this time. He actually like fought back, and I don't know. I think he's transitioned from being a very flashy offensive D-man to a really dependable piece, especially now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that, like Naomi said, like Florida thrives in chaos, so they're gonna be that they're gonna be that team that's hitting, and then Gostisbehere is gonna respond, and it's just part of the game. With both of these teams, it's part of the game. And yeah, it's always exciting to see some drama during a game.
Yeah, and I apologize earlier. I beg your pardon, guys. I was incorrect. Marchand is expected to play game two tonight. There was talk from the NHL and their executives of, making him face further punishment, but he's not expected to. Head coach of the Panthers, Paul Maurice, said he is expected to play and ready to play for game two tonight. So obviously, they will have Marchand. Obviously, a big piece coming from Boston. Kind of shocked to not see the Bruins in the playoffs this year. As a Sabres fan, I love it when they finish down near the bottom with us in the division. I know Sophia is probably disappointed about the Rangers, but
Yeah.
don't get into that too much.
It's okay. No, but as far as Marchand goes, I do just want to say like he has been so important to Florida, and also Seth Jones. Like Bill Zito getting these guys for Florida, who Seth Jones especially like was not expected to be anywhere near as good as and like important to Florida as he has been. Like both of them have been so clutch. Brad Marchand has like revived Luis Duranian and Lundell, and not that they've been like not horrible at all, but Luis Duranian is leading the whole team in points, like, and it's all because of Marchand. Watching him, he gets the puck before everyone else. He's always in it. Like he has just like turned this team into something else, and it's just awesome to see it. And like it's crazy because I was so shocked at the Marchand trade, and I know that everyone else was because it's like he's literally going to his rival team. But the way that he has, like, he is a playoff performer. And yeah, I'm so impressed with the way that they've adapted to these, like, to their new team. And it's showing through in every game.
I agree with that.
Yeah, some guys shine in the big light, and Marchand is definitely one of those guys. So obviously there was some drama as well in the series before this. Sophia, you want to touch on that a little bit with Marner?
Yeah, so obviously the Panthers beat the Leafs in seven, but the Leafs were up 2-0 in that series. Panthers win the next three. The Leafs shut out the Panthers at home game six, and then game seven, Panthers win. I don't remember the score, but
Lot to a little.
it's just how, like, I don't understand where the Leafs, like, no one understands, like, where do the Leafs go from here? Because you have your core four, Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, and Marner, who are all getting paid this large amount of money to show up in the playoffs, and they don't do it. Matthews, like, said that he's been injured on and off this year, which is why he had a down year. But, like, you have to show up in the playoffs. That is what you're getting paid to do. That's what your fans are showing up for. And so there's been so much drama with Marner because he's going to be a free agent. So now it's like, where is he going to go? Who, like, what team is going to pay him the money that he wants? Because he knows that he's good, and he knows that he wants to get paid, I'm assuming. It's just like, he doesn't. He like none of them show up, and they're like, it was a lot of talk. Brad Marchand, Paul Maurice, and Matthew Tkachuk all spoke about how they feel bad for the Toronto players because this team, like, they were like, this team this year was different. Like, they could have gone all the way. It was just the pressure from the Toronto fans, and I saw a lot of Maple Leafs fans being like, they're placating us, like, they are, it's almost like rude to be saying that. But I feel like there's definitely some truth to it, and I know that, like, Marner's team has also spoken out about the pressure that's on the Maple Leafs players to perform because Toronto is, like, it's a hockey city, like, and I can't imagine that pressure. But at the same time, like, how are the Yankees able to perform? They have the same pressure as the Maple Leafs in Toronto. And it's like, at a certain point, like, okay, then Marner can't handle it. Send him to Anaheim where there's no pressure. Like, maybe he'll thrive there and get some players into Toronto that can thrive.
Yeah, I mean, Florida's forecheck just really wore them down, and Bobrovsky specifically stepped up. It's such a mental game. I feel like when Matthews, Marner is the top player, just kind of disappear for stretches. And I don't know, you have to think about, is that mental? Is that a problem with the coaching? Is that a problem with the team? You don't really know. I mean, the game was very tight, but Florida's playoff maturity really gave them the edge.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto hasn't been to the Stanley Cup since 1967. So quick math says it's a little over 55 years, 58 years to be exact. I mean, you got the core four, like you said, but Marner and Tavares both kind of up in the air. Tavares becomes a free agent, a UFA on July 1st. Obviously, Marner on May 5th already said, he said this, "I've always loved my time here. I love being here. I've been so grateful." And what the reporter also noted is he didn't say, "I'd love to be back." And I think that's kind of something that maybe, if you're a Toronto fan, if you're a rival of Toronto, maybe you're sitting there saying, "Hey, the number four overall pick in that 2015 draft is probably not looking to come back with Toronto. He may be looking to switch franchises." Obviously, you know, he wants success. He wants to win, Marner. He's got plenty of talent himself, and Toronto does as well. I mean, there was no excuses this year to lose to Florida in the way they did in game seven, and obviously going up 2-0 in the series and then giving three back to Florida in a row. You think they'd be able to win one of those games at home, and they'd be able to take care of business in game five, and obviously they dropped that one, and that was kind of the tip of the iceberg.
And also, like, they were booed off the ice in game seven when they were like game seven ended, and the fans will usually like cheer for their team when the series is over, because, like, that's like respect. Like, they're gonna salute to the fans in the middle, and then like you cannot boo them because I get, it was their seventh straight game seven loss. Okay, I get it, but like Florida's really good. Like we know that, and it was going to be a challenge going into it. I don't know. I think that there's definitely some truth to the fans, the way that they treat them, and the way that they get asked questions in the media. Like I do think that it can all turn mental very quickly.
So it really is more of a mental game. I agree.
Yeah, so looking ahead now, you got Florida up 1-0 on Carolina. You got Dallas up 1-0 on Edmonton. So pick your poison, whatever you think. Obviously, last year, Edmonton was the one to advance out of the West, so we'll start there. Who do you think is going to win that series?
I really think it's a toss-up. Like, I actually don't know. Because, like, I feel like if you would have asked me this before, I would have said Edmonton. And I still kind of feel like Edmonton's going to come out alive, and we're just going to see a rematch of how the Stanley Cup final last year. Just because I feel like Dallas tends to crash and burn. But also, I could see the other side. I can totally see Dallas making it and even win the cup. So I'm going to say Edmonton, but, like, that's a very, like, just, like, slight edge, I feel like, even though they're down one nothing, but
Yeah, I'm really disappointed because I thought the Caps were gonna, make it out alive. But I think at this point, I would say Dallas winning the cup. I mean, they've got the experience, they've got a legit playoff goalie. They're just making it look easy so far. But I think if Bobrovsky goes like full 2013 or 2023 again, I think Florida could definitely be a great contender for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
yeah, I think honestly, I think out of the West, it's probably gonna be Edmonton for me. I know they're down 1-0, but Dallas was at home, nothing to really worry about. Yeah, they gave up five goals in the third period, but you look at the first and second period of that game, Edmonton really handled them. I mean, McDavid coming back's huge. You know, they've had injuries all season long, and you know, they're starting to play their best hockey now. And I think that's what you want to be looking for if you're an Edmonton fan. Obviously, it's a long trip from Dallas to Edmonton, not a short distance. So we'll see how Dallas handles going on the road to Edmonton. I think if Edmonton can snag one of the games in Dallas, I think they win the series. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to because I don't think Edmonton will lose up in Canada, 30 degrees. Dallas, it's almost 90 now by this time of year. So, you know, obviously that stuff weighs on players. You never know. Out of the East, I just think Florida is too good and too much of a powerhouse. I've watched this Carolina team, and I don't think they're fraudulent. Obviously, they've won both their series is 4-1, gentlemen sweep style. But I think they're too strong and too powerful. And then Sophia, who do you have for the cup? Personally, for me, I think it's going to be Florida again.
I don't know. I said Edmonton on Saturday during one-on-one, so maybe I'll just stick with that because I'm a Panthers fan, so I don't want to be positive, but like I don't know. I don't know, guys. Edmonton, I guess.
I could definitely see Florida.
Yeah, I got Florida too, last year's champs, and I'm looking at the 2024 bracket. Can only mention the Rangers getting knocked out in the Eastern Conference final. Horrible. New York teams selling in conference finals, death taxes, and New York losing in that stage, basketball, hockey, whatever it is. So you got our predictions, and that is just about gonna do it here. I am Dominic Sansone, and I'm joined alongside Sophia Smith and Naomi Rhea. Our sports director is Bobby Chaffredini, and this is a production of WFUV Sports.